This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
My time talking to Devin Leary at ACC football kickoff this year. He's an impressive young man. Dave Doran, NC State's head coach, before they head down to Clemson to take on the Tigers on national TV. It's incredible college game day. Coach Doran joins us on the Adam Gold Show. I know you believe this, but your quarterback is impressive in a lot of ways. How has he helped guide this team to where they are right now?
You know, I just think he's consistent more than anything. He's a hardworking guy, cares a lot about how he prepares, practices, plays. He demands a lot from himself and from those around him, and he's what you think he's going to be every day. And I think that's the biggest thing when talking about the most important position on your team. When that guy shows up the same way every day with a lot of grit and determination, it demands the same from those around him.
I had heard that he had essentially apologized to the team after the East Carolina game for playing poorly. Can you add anything to that?
No. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember him apologizing. I know he wanted to play better and felt like, you know, for him it wasn't his best, but it wasn't a stand up and I'm sorry type thing. It's just all, I think a lot of guys in the room didn't play the way they wanted to play, and he was one of them.
So it wasn't like we're going to put a plaque on the side of the stadium like they did in Florida after Tim Tebow lost to Ole Miss. Dave Doran is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I thought Monday when we found out the top 10 matchup, national TV, all of that, I thought this would be a long week for fans, for your fans, because there's so much anticipation for this game. How have you... even with your own team or around town, how have you guys processed the wait for something like this?
The wait as in time or?
Not W-E-I-G-H-T. There's that question too. But I know your fans have been looking forward to this for so long, and I anticipate your players have been pointing to October 1st as well, and now it's here. So it just, naturally speaking, it just feels like a long week.
Be honest with you, it hasn't been. We've been very focused on one game at a time. It's something we talked about before the season started. Like, how could we screw this up? You know, one of the things we talked about was looking ahead. And that's not been what we've been about here. It's been about the day and trying to stack days and be better than we were the day before, the game before, and so on. And it hasn't been. We expected to be 4-0. We're excited about the matchup and the opportunity, but we haven't been sitting around looking at the calendar like, I can't wait till we get to this one. It's been more about how do we win the next game.
Significance of this being a top 10 matchup is what?
Well, I think, you know, for the university, for the athletic department, for the program, something we haven't had, you know, and so it's a definite thing that we're excited about here. You know, it's been a hard road to build this program, and I think you have to embrace, you know, the opportunity, the stage, and Clemson's been there many times. They've, you know, built their program and had their time, I guess you'd say, to do this multiple times in the playoffs, you know, in the regular season. We just haven't. And so to be in this situation, we're excited about it. We're going to enjoy it. But we know that doesn't win the game. You know, we have to execute. We have to go down there and play in a very hostile environment and do it.
Dave Doran is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show, 7:30 on ABC, national TV for Clemson and NC State. Top 10 matchup. Wolfpack are 10th in the country. What did you learn from last year's game against Clemson? I mean, maybe about how your guys handled it. Was there something that you take away? Not that the games are going to be the same, but do you take anything from that game last year?
Well, I think we believe we can beat these guys, and I couldn't always say that. You know, I think there were certain guys that did. There was a lot of guys that thought they could. There was a belief in our locker room that we were better than them, and not, you know, as people or any of that, just as a team, that we could go out there and out-execute them and win. And when you have that and then you finally do it, I think it does matter. It means something, you know. I mean, there was a time here when we couldn't beat anybody. I mean, my first year, we didn't win a single league game, and everyone we played was like, how are we going to beat these guys? Like, no one thinks they can win, and it's the opposite. We expect to win, you know, and so I think that's the biggest difference in that closing seconds of that game, getting the W. I think it really elevates confidence within a team that they can beat anybody. I mean, Clemson's a great program. They're two-time national champions under Dabo, and we respect them. And so when you knock someone off that's that good a program, it means something to your confidence.
Dave Doran is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Do you draw any confidence? And I know it was a long time ago now, but you guys had them with Ryan Finley at quarterback, and, you know, Kyle Bambard was right. A good kicker for you. Do you draw anything from, look, we have been in this position going down there, played well, and had an opportunity. Does that, you know, add anything to your confidence?
Well, these guys weren't part of that.
Right.
So that doesn't help our team. I mean, for me, I know what that formula looked like. We, you know, that particular day, we ran the ball effectively. We took care of the football, and we forced 5 turnovers. You know, I mean, that's why we were in that game mm-hmm. and had a chance to win that game and really dominated that game at the line of scrimmage. You know, so we know how, as a staff, that formula worked, but these players weren't a part of that, you know, and so it's very distant to them. Obviously, we talk about it and talk about the importance of winning on the road and what it takes.
Dave Doran is joining us. What I was really getting at is there's a culture and great programs, you know, even if you're not involved in a game from 4 or 5 years ago, there's an expectation, and you guys were right there. I was trying to kind of create a compliment there. I did a poor job of that. Dave Doran is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I know that there are no pictures on a scorecard. You're a golfer. It doesn't make a difference. If you make a 3, it doesn't matter if it bounced off a tree. You still made a 3. Where are you? You're 4-0. Where are you specifically with your offense and your identity on that side of the ball?
Well, I think we're a lot better than we were when the season started. You know, I mean, we've kind of had to, through growing pains, figure out where we're at, and players have had to emerge. Our run game, we feel confident in the guys running the football. I think that was a question when it started. You know, in the last couple of weeks, we started to see some receivers make the plays we need them to make. I thought Devin Carter and Thayer Thomas really played well last week, and they're guys we need to play well. You know, and we're counting on Porter Rooks and Daryl Jones, you know, and then there's some younger players that are kind of emerging in the background, you know, and we need those guys to grow up through the course of the season. We gave them a lot of reps, so I think that's still trying to figure out the best way to work that, you know, from a rotation standpoint. But the offensive line's been solid, and, you know, I think Devin is just learning his personnel. You know, when you mm-hmm. lose Dylan Parham, you lose Emeka, it takes a little time to kind of put the pieces in the way they're going to fit.
Also, at the end of last year, it looked like Trent Penix was becoming such a big part of your passing game.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Trent's a major part, and we haven't had him since the opener, so we will get him back in a week, so that'll be nice to have him back for the remaining 6 games. But or 7 games, so that'll be nice to have him back. But you're right, you know, he was a big part of our run game and our play-action game, our nakeds and boots, and he's a very athletic matchup tight end that has helped our offense.
Well, one more bigger picture thing before I ask you something about Hurricane Ian. I don't know if it'll probably be just a tropical storm by the time this it has any impact in what's going on in South Carolina. But it looks to me, again, like the Atlantic Division certainly has the 4 best teams in the ACC. Maybe with the way Syracuse is playing, the 5 best teams in the league. Why didn't we scrap divisions this year?
You wouldn't have had an argument for me. I mean, it's been my 10th year in the league, and I've never seen the other side as strong as our side, and it's not a slight to them. It's just the way it's been, you know. And before I got here, it probably wasn't that way. But in my 10 years, we've had some really strong teams with Florida State, Clemson, Louisville. Syracuse had an 11-win season. You know, we've had some 9-win seasons. It's a very tough division. And this year, all 7 starting quarterbacks are back in Wake Forest. And, you know, I mean, Boston College had some years. It's kind of the last year of a really good division, I guess you'd say. And, yeah, I would have had no problem with that. But we're going to have to strap it up. I mean, this stretch of games we have coming up, we're playing three straight teams with no losses on the record here over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, and still a game with Wake looming. I mean, there's so many good teams just on the Atlantic side. All right, final thing. Do you have two game plans prepared based on the weather and the conditions because of what Ian is like? Do you have a, like, if it's playable, this is what we're going to do. If it's a swamp, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a complete game plan changes, but we definitely have a way, if it turns into a situation where you can't throw, to become that. And something that, you know, you use in your four-minute offense as well, you know, or, you know, you're just going to try to grind it out. But we've talked a lot about the best ways, you know, to manufacture points and to be able to move the football if it becomes a day like we had with Notre Dame where you just literally can't throw completions.
Right. Look, Notre Dame tried. They definitely tried to complete passes.
Yeah, no, you did. I mean, it's, people laugh about it, but we had a hurricane game plan, kind of a plan B like you're talking about. And that was an experience that's serving me very well right now, just in case we end up there. It sounds like it's not going to be that way, but, you know, if it would change, we will definitely be prepared.
Dave Doran, head coach, NC State. Good luck, man. It's going to be a blast for the whole game day experience and all of that. And I know you guys are going to be separate from that, but it's a great experience for your fans, too, and I know you're proud of that. Good luck. I hope you guys take care of business.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity. Go Pack.
You got it. Dave Doran here on the Adam Gold Show. You can follow him on Twitter if you want, at State Coach D. Kelly Gramlich from the Gramlich and McLane podcast, ACC Network. She has been with us, gosh, like 2 weeks ago. I'm so surprised she's agreed to come back so soon. How are you, Kelly?
I'll always come back. Adam, I'm doing well. I'm actually, I was telling this to a few other people, I'm in Texas because my brother is getting married on Saturday. So I'm going to have to find a way to watch some Clemson NC State in between celebrating my brother's marriage. It's going to be fun.
What time is the wedding?
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
You
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
5:30 Central Time.
Gosh.
So 6:30 Eastern. Yeah, it's going to be tough.
So also the end of Wake Forest, Florida State.
I know. I'm going to have to do a lot of rewatching on Sunday. That's what I'm going to have to
Yes, exactly right. So you and EMAC can get to it. Let's start with the game that maybe you have extra interest in. I don't know, as a Clemson grad, but this is new territory for NC State in that this is the biggest game, and we've talked to an NC State historian this week, other than a 1967 game at Penn State when the Wolfpack was 9-0 going in. This is the biggest game they have ever played in as a program.
Wow.
And like, they've played big games, but not like this. Clemson's kind of used to these situations. What kind of an edge does that give the Tigers?
Well, when you put it that way, I mean, I wasn't thinking of it in those terms. I was thinking maybe back to some of the Phillip Rivers, T.A. McClendon teams. Perhaps they'd played in some bigger games, but maybe when they were that far up in the poll, they didn't necessarily play another top 10 opponent in league play. So I can see how this would be a big one. And for NC State, you know, a team that felt like last year they let a few things slip through their fingers. They beat Clemson but didn't win the Atlantic, and then through no fault of their own didn't get to play their bowl game and win 10 games.
Right.
There's a lot riding on this game in that regard. If you're going to win the ACC, if you're going to do what you think you can do, what you're good enough to do, you probably need to win this game. And with how good the Atlantic is, Adam. I mean, we've got so many ranked teams in this division, and you've got FSU and Wake playing as well, who are both ranked and both in the division. Every single game matters, and it feels like whichever team wins this game, especially for Clemson because they already beat Wake, really has the edge in terms of getting to Charlotte.
Oh, there's no question. The implications in terms of winning the Atlantic, it's hard to believe, especially with Wake Forest already done for the Tigers. If Clemson wins this game, I just can't imagine them not winning the division unless Florida State becomes better than we think they are and FSU wins that game.
It's the FSU factor, right? Because as much as I love Syracuse and am so impressed by what they've done so far, that game is in Clemson, and yeah, Syracuse gives Clemson fits, but it doesn't feel like Syracuse is going to win the other games necessary. So the FSU game, the fact that Clemson plays FSU in Tallahassee, they haven't played in Tallahassee in a long time because in 2020 that game got canceled. So that game would be huge, and I think FSU, if they beat Wake Forest this weekend and Clemson beats NC State, it feels like we're headed for that kind of collision course, which I know we're talking on a Raleigh station here, but honestly, it would feel kind of nice because that's what it used to be and what it's kind of supposed to be, right? FSU and Clemson playing in massive games in October that matter. So we'll see if that happens. But again, all these teams have to handle their business tomorrow. That's Saturday. That's the first step.
We might have to revisit this conversation when Clemson goes back down there because we all know the conversations that happened around the cancellation of that game. Kelly Gramlich and Mac Lay in the podcast, ACC Network, is joining us here in the Adam Gold Show. All right. I heard you talk about DJ Uiagalelei. And my feeling has been, I saw some things. First game, I thought that he wasn't very good, and I was worried about Clemson's long-term this year. Second game was a throwaway. The Louisiana Tech game might have been a throwaway, but I thought DJ played really well in that game. And then I thought we saw another pretty big step forward against Wake Forest. Your thoughts on DJU?
Yeah, I've been blown away. I've been absolutely blown away. This is not what I expected. I think people who say they expected this are just lying. Maybe DJ did. If you want to believe in yourself, I'm never going to doubt someone for believing in themselves. But beyond that, I'm not sure anyone expected this type of performance. And my co-host, Eric McLean, who, of course, played offensive line for the Tigers, he said that DJ's performance against Wake was his best game ever, better than Notre Dame, better than Boston College. And I would have to agree because I think he was so much more accurate. When you go back and watch his performance at Notre Dame and BC when he was a freshman replacing Trevor Lawrence, who had COVID, some of those throws were a little off, but Clemson's wide receivers made plays. Hunter Renfrow made a play for him, or Amari Rodgers made a play for him. The wide receivers did step up against Wake, which was very important for Clemson, but all in all, DJ was excellent. He was incredibly accurate. He made great decisions. He didn't turn the ball over. He just looked like a different person. He looked so much more confident. He had much better pocket awareness. He was willing to run, which is something that he struggled with last year. So it's been a transformation, and I'm happy for him. I think anybody who's a fan of college sports should be happy for a kid who obviously had so much pressure last year, signed a Dr. Pepper deal, had just all the eyes on him, and didn't perform like he wanted to, and he didn't quit. He didn't transfer. He got back to work. He worked on his mental toughness, I'm sure. And now he's excelling. I think it's a great story.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people, and I'm included in this group, that really assumed we were going to see a Kelly Bryant, Trevor Lawrence situation by the time we got here, we all thought we'd see Kubnik. Or I completely blew his name, but we thought we'd see the freshman. I should have just said the freshman. That's what you do when you can't pronounce somebody's name.
Oh, I totally thought we would as well. I thought the big conversation going into NC State, especially because of where it was on the schedule, would be, do we have a quarterback controversy, and would Dabo be willing to start Klubnik, a true freshman, against NC State if he needed to? But you know what? That's not even on the radar at this point, unless DJ gets hurt, of course, then you'll see Klubnik. But I think that's also good for Clemson in the long run. You don't have to throw a true freshman out there who is uber talented, but I think just physically he's not ready. He's still pretty skinny and doesn't really have the muscle mass. So in the end, it's a great thing for Clemson. What I'm curious about is DJ still has another year of eligibility. If he keeps playing like this, it feels like he'll probably get drafted. But if he wants to stay, how does Klubnik feel about that? Because I feel like it was told to Klubnik, or at least implied, that he would maybe only sit for 1 year. So this may create a problem down the road, but on it, overall, it's been a very good thing for Clemson. There's no doubt.
Theoretically, he could still redshirt another year or claim this as a redshirt, right? The rules would allow for him to claim this as a redshirt season. But again, the great players don't stick around all that long. And as soon as you can get drafted, in general, you do. Kelly Gramlich, ACC Network, at Kelly Gramlich on Twitter. Klubnik doesn't seem like it's that hard to say. It's really a wonder how I made it this far in radio. We haven't really talked about the Wolfpack. We just talked to Dave Doran. He recognizes that they can play better offensively. He likes the fact that they are running the ball better. Where can State attack Clemson and impact the game?
Well, first thing about the run game, I think Demi Sumo-Cornbay is the most explosive player in this game. I think he's proven to have a little more explosiveness, at least as of now, than Shipley. I think Shipley's overall the better back, but Sumo-Cornbay can just take off at any moment. He could break a 50-yarder and you don't even know it. So I think he could be a game changer. But obviously, if you watch the Clemson tape against Wake Forest, I think you want to attack that secondary. And I would not be surprised, as long as the rain has pretty much gone out of the way, which it feels like it will if we're looking at the latest weather patterns, I would attack that secondary early if I'm NC State. I would throw some deep shots. I would target Thayer Thomas and Devin Carter and try to challenge this young Clemson secondary like Wake Forest did, see if you can get some PIs early, see if you can get a lead early. That's what I would do. And then I would also utilize Sumo-Cornbay because I think he's an electric player.
He is dynamite. But the only thing that State has really had problems with is like end goal situations. They have had a hard time getting into the end zone from in tight. They need Devin Carter. They need the tight ends to step up. But I'm anticipating. Look, we haven't had a top 10 matchup. This is a stat that a friend of mine gave me on Wednesday. This is only the 17th top 10 regular season ACC game ever.
Wow. Wow. Well, it reminds me a little bit of October 1st, which is the same date, October 1st, 2016, when Clemson and Louisville played in Death Valley. And I think that was number 3 versus number 5. Obviously the Lamar Jackson of it all is not in this game, but Louisville did tank after that loss, even though they were number 3 in the country. I think this could be somewhat of a similar game, maybe not as high scoring, but still a close game and a really fun game to watch.
So even though you're at a wedding, your brother's wedding on Saturday in Texas, it's a heck of an ACC doubleheader, the undercard with Wake Forest and Florida State. So a final question, I'll just ask you about FSU. Are they real or are they, you know, they're FSU, therefore they're ranked?
I think they're because they're of their identity running the ball and because of all the weapons they have in which they can do it. They have 3 legitimate backs. I think 3 backs that could start almost anywhere in Ward, Benson, and Toafili. And then Jordan Travis, as long as he stays healthy, I think every Florida State fan should be knocking on wood every day. Their rushing attack is explosive, really tough to stop, and they can keep putting a fresh back in there throughout the game. And then the receivers have really emerged. I think that's been a key. Johnny Wilson is a really good player. Ontario Wilson, Micah Pittman. So I think their offense is for real. The defense, the secondaries looked really good. They've had some injuries up front, but I think so. I mean, I think just if you're going off the FSU name, they would have been ranked a week earlier. So it feels like the AP voters really tried to take their time with FSU, make sure they were real before they ranked them. I'm not saying they're back, meaning they're going to win the ACC or make a playoff or something like that. But this is a team that I do think is for real and I think can really make some noise this season.
It would be great for the league to have an FSU that is legit. And I don't know what's better for the league, to have Clemson win this game or NC State, but it's going to be fun to watch. Did you make a prediction for this game yet?
I did. I believe I said, I'm trying to remember what I said to keep it consistent. I believe I said 30 to 21 or 30 to 24, something like that. I think it's a 31-24. There we go. I think as the rain is moving out, we'll get some points. I think the Death Valley factor is a little too much for NC State. NC State hasn't won in Death Valley since 2002. And the way DJU is playing, I think Clemson will just make one more play. But this Clemson defense has to look better. They can't be as ineffective as they have been in recent games.
Look, I can't say Klubnik. So, Kelly Gramlich, I appreciate your time. Gramlich and McLean podcast. They will recap the week after Kelly watches all this football on Sunday. I appreciate your time.
Exactly. Thanks, Adam.
Take care. All right, let's get to the best and worst of the NFL. I like to start with powerless rankings, and these are the worst five teams in the NFL. And I don't think we have fifth worst, although that would be fun if we could get a loud voice to do that for us.
Number five.
Yeah, this is number five worst. All right, and it's a tie. And it's a tie between the New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers. Don't hit me with scoreboard. All right? Don't hit me with scoreboard. Saints have a road win.
Yeah.
Right? They won in Atlanta, which may not be all that great, to be honest. But I think that these two teams are very similar teams. And I know Carolina won, but I don't think either team looked good in doing it, in playing this game. But I do think it was better than the Panthers-Giants game I watched.
Yes.
Which was very bad.
Brutal.
Yeah. So we're going to go tied for 28th.
Okay.
All right. Next.
If you have something to say about tonight's discussion, follow...
Oh, well, that's not that the right one. Number four.
Number four. Wait, that was supposed to be number four?
That's supposed to be. It's labeled number four. That was not number four.
I'm going to choke. All right. Number four. The Seattle Seahawks. Number fourth worst. The Seattle Seahawks. Okay, we understand they beat the Denver Broncos because spite. That's why they beat the Broncos. They were not allowing Russell Wilson and the Broncos to come back to Seattle and get a win. But they're not good. Seattle is not good. Fourth worst team in the NFL. Third worst team.
Number three.
Hey.
Worst. Third worst. The New York Jets. They are 1-2. Of course, that was a gift from the Cleveland Browns. Remember that. And then when people were starting to go, hey, man, this Jets team, little bit Joe Flacco. And then what they do, they went out and they stunk against the Cincinnati Bengals, who I don't think are that good, although they are capable. They stunk against the Bengals at home. 1-2 Jets, third worst team. Number two. What?
Number two.
31. It's going to surprise people. The New England Patriots.
Oh.
They're bad.
They are.
They're bad. They do have a win at Pittsburgh, but I don't think they're good either. This has been, like, I realize that they might not be having this conversation on ESPN or the NFL Network or anywhere else like that, but there is a conversation right now that, oh, well, it's proof. This is all Brady and no Belichick. I mean, it's hard to deny that Brady has had success without Bill, and Bill has not had success without Tom. Do want to point out that Belichick brought the Browns to the playoffs before the Browns left for Baltimore, and the owner at the time, Art Modell, wanted to go back to a Baltimore coaching legend of sorts, an old Baltimore Colts head coach, Ted Marchabrota, who actually took over for Belichick did not make the trip with the team from Cleveland to Baltimore. They weren't terrible. They were actually pretty good when Belichick was the head coach of Cleveland. Nick Saban was his defensive coordinator for a time. Anyway, Belichick is under 500 in his career as a head coach without Brady. Okay, Tom Brady is one of, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. Everybody would have a better record with Tom Brady than they would without him. With that said, I think Belichick's problem has been identifying that quarterback, not doing poorly with a good team. That's the real problem with New England. That Mac Jones, for instance, I mean, Mac was okay last year.
Yeah.
But Mac was viewed as a higher floor, lower ceiling quarterback. And I think it remains to be seen just how high the floor is. So, I have no doubt. Belichick's a great football coach, historically great football coach. This was not all Tom Brady.
No.
So, but he had no quarterback right now. And Brian Hoyer is going to start. And I did see a report that, well, I wouldn't rule out Mac Jones starting. All right, man, if you're coming back, you know, a week after a high ankle sprain, awesome.
Yeah.
I would like to know the ending in D-O-L
yes.
that you are taking. What is the, how much Toradol are you on if you are coming back after a high ankle sprain? So they are number 31, and the last team.
Number one.
I don't know who this person is.
Oh, I know who that is.
Oh, okay.
That's Alec.
Oh, was
my
it?
My man, Alec Campbell.
Oh.
All right, the Las Vegas Raiders. How's it going, Josh McDaniel? There was a really interesting Twitter story about Josh McDaniel from his time with the Denver Broncos and how everybody in that organization hated him. He only made it. Did he make it less than 2 years? I think he made it less than 2 years.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying that's going to be the case. McDaniel is a really good offensive coach, so we'll see if he can turn it around, if he's matured as a head coaching candidate. But they're a mess, and they are 0-3. All right. Now we get to the best five.
Yes.
All right.
Number five.
I know people want me to say the Miami Dolphins. I'm not going to say the Miami Dolphins. I'm actually more inclined to say the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm not going to say them either. I'm going to go Kansas City Chiefs at number five. They were disappointing. They probably should have beaten the Indianapolis Colts, and they blew a lead against the Colts, and they allowed a team, I think, to be pretty poor to beat them. But I still think the Chiefs are one of the best. I think they're probably better than one of the best five teams in the league, but I'm going to put them at number five for right now. I think they just played a poor game, and they didn't maximize whatever they did do against the Colts. Next.
Number four.
The Green Bay Packers. Their game with the Buccaneers last week was a rock fight. Packers scored two touchdowns pretty quickly and then did nothing the rest of the way. Nothing the rest of the way. Part of that is the Buccaneers have a great defense. A great defense. Their offense is just banged up. And I would anticipate that we will see Tampa somewhere in these rankings even next week. There's a couple of really interesting games in the NFL. We'll talk more about the entirety of week four coming up tomorrow. But I think the Packers, for the most part, also have a good defense. And that Rodgers guy is pretty good. And I'll be surprised if they don't beat the New England Patriots this week. Pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Number three.
Baltimore Ravens. Number three. Wait, I can hear Miami Dolphins fans. I can hear. Wait, we won in Baltimore. Yes, you did.
Uh-huh.
You did. You did. Wait till we get to number one.
This episode is brought to you by Samsung. Unfold the all-new Galaxy Z Fold 4 and expand your world. With Flex Mode, it stands on its own, so your hands free to get more done during calls. And with multi-window view, you can use up to three apps at the same time. Plus, the edge-to-edge screen allows you to fully immerse yourself in your favorite games and shows. Visit Samsung.com to learn more about Galaxy Z Fold 4.
Just wait.
Just wait till we get to number one. I think the Ravens have the best player in the game. Meaning the sport of football. Lamar Jackson is accounting right now for 85% of the Ravens' offense.
Wow.
85%.
That's insane.
When he won the MVP, however many years ago that was, when he won the MVP, he accounted for 65% of the Ravens' offense.
He's only getting better.
Yes. And when he was the Heisman Trophy winner at Louisville, it was 75% of the offense. Now, if I were Baltimore, that is not the recipe to remain great.
No. One person can't hang the whole thing.
Like, let Lamar do it.
Yeah.
But literally, his rushing yards plus passing yards is 85% of Baltimore's total through 3 weeks. Small sample size. But I have them as the third best team in the league. next.
Number two.
I got a very smart text, or rather tweet, yesterday when I was, or maybe it was 2 days ago, when I was explaining my questions about the Dallas Cowboys, who I just said I considered for number five. Because I think Dallas's defense is great, and they can run the ball. So they actually remind me a little bit of the Tennessee Titans a few years ago, when the Tennessee Titans, not to make this about Dallas, but when the Tennessee Titans got, what did they get to the conference finals, I think? That was the formula, right? Good quarterback, not great quarterback. Great offensive line, good, great running game, good defense. That to me is, or great defense, that to me is what Dallas is. But they said, why are you saying this about Dallas, but you think the Eagles are so good? I do. I think the Eagles are that good. I have the Eagles as number two on this list. I have them as the best team in the NFC. And right now, I think they're headed to the Super Bowl. I will also say that it's week three.
Yes.
So
still early.
The chances of me being wrong are very, very good.
But you could be right.
I might be. And I'd be in not as early as Will Brinson was in on the Philadelphia Eagles. All right. We have reached the top team.
Number one.
There he is
back
again.
Back to Alec.
Back to my man, Alec.
Yeah.
All right. I know they lost the game on Sunday. I know they ran out of time. They pulled the Dallas Cowboys, right? McKenzie didn't get out of bounds or didn't go down and take a knee. He probably couldn't have gotten out of bounds. But these guys are smart enough to know that just giving yourself up and taking a knee is enough. And he didn't do that. And therefore, the Bills could not get to the line of scrimmage and spike it. If they did, they were setting up for a game-winning field goal. The Buffalo Bills are still the best team in the game. And with that said, the Bills could end up being 2-2 after this week because the Bills and the Ravens play.
Yeah.
And we're going to be able to watch it here.
It's exciting.
How great is that?
See, that's going to be a fun game to watch.
Well, Josh Allen is fun. The Bills' offense is fun. Lamar Jackson is super fun. So, yes, it will be. And that's the problem. More playmakers. Like, in the... I mean, it could be fun. The Panthers and the Cardinals could be fun because you have McCaffrey and you've got Kyler Murray and DJ Moore as well. But, yeah, there's a fun scenario there. Just not great chance of it. Victoria, welcome back. We'll do it tomorrow again. I'm Adam Gold. Bye.
This is the Adam Gold Show.